nice season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a sign in the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. In the night season and all the day long.
Wonderful. All right, wonderful. Thank you, Brother Raley. Let's take our Bibles tonight, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And if you were not able to be with us last Wednesday night, we started our Wednesday night Bible studies on the church in the last days. The church in the last days. Now, regardless, again, while you're turning there, let me just talk while you're turning. And regardless of what you've read in some books, regardless of what you hear on some religious television stations, regardless of what they say, the church is still alive and well. Jesus said that he would build a church, and those local churches that depend on him, the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Let me remind you that one of the things I said last week is when Jesus established the church, he didn't establish it for it only to exist a short period of time. He established the church to be strong until he comes back and gets it. He never established it for it to only last a short period of time. He established it, empowered it for the duration of time until he comes back and gets his bride from the earth. But we found out that in our reading last week that Paul, in his message to a young preacher, giving him instructions. By the way, this was a young pastor. This was a young man that was being, and I say young man, many believe Timothy was probably maybe in his 30s or 40s by this time. But yet he was being instructed by the man of God about what to be aware of in the last days. Let's stand together. Let's read just one verse tonight for sake of time. We're not going to read down through all of these other things here in the first or the last three or verses 3-7. But I do want to read verses 1 and 2. It says, "This know also," Paul says, "that in the last days, perilous, hazardous, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now I'm going to stop there because he gives a whole other list of things of what is going to be going on. Now, let me just say this quickly. I know you can make a lot of applications, but I'm not so sure that Paul's referring to much of this as being what's going on outside the church as he's saying what's going on inside the church. He said in the last days, perilous, hazardous times. You say, like what? Where they are now in some churches promoting homosexual pastors and homosexual lifestyles. He said that will be welcomed into the church. Alternate lifestyles, people living together in sin, that will be an acceptable thing. They will marry and then given in marriage. All of these things will begin to be accepted, he said, by the church of the last days. And so when he said perilous times shall come, we're going to find out tonight that the world has always been wicked. The world has never loved the church. It's never loved the Bible. It's never loved God. So what's changed? The world hasn't changed, but the church sure has. And that's where we stand today in the church of the last days. Father, bless now the few moments that we have, and would you help us to understand a little bit more about your word and about your will for your church in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, last week we left off talking about the conditions, or we were about to go into the conditions that exist, not just outside the church, but inside the church. Now, I whet your appetite a little bit about the message for tonight, last Wednesday night, that I'm not so sure. Matter of fact, I think I'm almost convinced myself that it's not going to be what's happening outside the church that's going to bring the return of Christ. I think it's going to be what's happening inside the church. It's probably what's going on inside the church. The condition of the bride is what's going to bring the groom back to rescue her from this present evil world. Now, we notice in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 a whole list of things. And let me show you why I think that Paul might be referring here to the conditions that are going on among people within the church. Look, if you would, in that list, he mentioned things such as lovers of their own selves. Those are people that are either easily offended or they can't seem to follow authority or leadership anymore. Did you notice he said the children of the church of the last days will be disobedient to parents? You say, well, preacher, that's happened all the time. Yeah, but it's going to become increasingly more. It's going to be so bad that children will turn their own parents in to CPS. Children will turn their own parents and relatives into the authorities in the last days. You see, he said they'll be disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And then if you'll notice, without natural affection. That's where all types of promiscuity, the church of the last days, too many will just turn their head when it comes to sin and immorality. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. Listen to this. Despisers of those that are good. You know what? I've never met too many lost people that despise the good people. What they despise is they despise God and His Bible and things. Listen, but you know what I have found? I have found that people in the church that aren't right with God do despise those that are. And those that are trying to be a soul winner. And those that are trying to live for God. And are trying to separate themselves. They say, well, you know what? You're just trying to be legalistic. You're just trying to be and force your convictions down my throat. Well, let me say, if they're Bible convictions, then nobody's trying to force anything on you. If they're Bible convictions, they're just trying to live by them. And if you get convicted, well, maybe God's trying to tell you something. You see, he said in that day there will be the spirit of those that are despisers of good. Oh, look at this now. Look at verse 4. This is interesting. Kind of gives you a little clue that he might be referring to the condition of people in the church. He said they will become traitors. You say, wait a minute, people, or preacher, traitors, traitors to what? Traitors to the Bible. You hear me? I said traitors to the Bible. They will no longer adhere to one proven, inerrant, holy word of God. They will be open to all versions. They will be traitors to the truth. They'll be traitors to the church. They'll be traitors to the loyalties of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That kind of gives me an indication that whoever he's talking about right here could have a relationship with God but choose not to. They choose to look at their social status or their position or money, their job or their pastimes. He said they'll become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And then here's what he said about them. Look at this now. This to me kind of nails it down. He said they will have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. He said, now they will dress, now listen, most of the lost world, most of the world, they're not trying to dress up like believers. He said, the group of people I'm talking about here, he said they'll have a form of godliness. In other words, they'll be the kind of people you'll turn your TV set on, and boy, they dress the part, they look the part, but all you got to do is listen to what they say, and you can tell they're not the part. Why? Because what they're doing, they have a form of godliness. They are appearing to be a part of the bride. They're appearing to be a certain way, which they are not. He said that will be kind of the portrait that will be presented, unfortunately, of the church of the last days to the world. Well, let's talk about just for a moment the conditions outside the church. Now, last week I left you with five words, the word purpose, because when Jesus established the church, he gave it a purpose, right? He told them what was supposed to be going on when he left and ascended back to the right hand of the Father. He gave them a purpose. You know what the purpose was? Go ye therefore. Take the message that I leave you and go tell people. There's your purpose. Anybody here running too many Baptists knocking doors these lately? Matter of fact, let's just scratch that. Anybody run into any Christians lately out knocking doors? How many of you run into Jehovah's Witnesses, though? Or Mormons? See, the devil's promoting his propaganda. Isn't it amazing how that the church of the last days will not be promoting Jesus like they ought to? And yet, here we are with a purpose, the greatest purpose on earth, and we're not fulfilling that purpose like we should. The next word I gave you was the word plan. Not only did Jesus give the church a plan, but he gave us a purpose, but he gave us a plan. You know what? He says, I want you to go, and here's what I want you to do when you go. Daily in the temple and in every house, cease not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. He said, I want you to be a witness on your job. I want you to be a witness in your neighborhood. I want you to tell people everywhere you go about the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen, this isn't hard. He only gave them one instruction. And that's not very difficult. We only have one purpose. He's given us the plan and he's empowered it. And even in Isaiah 55, he even said that his own word would not return void. You have nothing to be afraid of. Just go give the word out. It will return and there will be value to it. He just needs somebody to go give it out. He just needs some hands, some feet, a voice. That's all he needs. That's us, folks. That's the church. But the church of the last days seems to become more and more lethargic. Unfortunately, it's too much about them than it is about the Lord, the purpose or the plan. And then I left you with the word promise. Promise. If you'll remember in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus made a promise. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Here's the promise. And the gates of hell will not, you hear me, will not prevail against it. That's the reason, folks, here at Trinity Baptist Church, our church staff, we're not trying to build a church. Amen, preacher. And by the way, you ought not to be trying to build one either. You say, well, what am I supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be going out with the message, promoting the purpose, promoting the plan, and bringing the material into the church so Jesus can build it. That's all. Listen, he is the master builder. He just needs material to get it done. Guess what we are? We are the hired labor. We're to go out and get people and bring them in so the master builder can build the church. Let him disciple people. Let him grow people. All we're trying to do is fulfill the purpose and the plan. And we've got a promise. And then here's something else I mentioned to you last week. And that is, he gave us his presence. He said, lo, I am with you always. He said, no matter what you do. He said, because if you'll let me build the church, I'm going to be with you. He says, now if you're trying to build it on your own, you're on your own. Okay? Now I don't know about you. I don't want a church that I build. I don't want a church that you build. Because guess what? A church that you build or a church that I build or a church that we build will fall. Okay, we must not get involved in building a church. He said, what are we involved in? We're involved in getting the material and following the book. That's what we ought to be focused on and involved in. The purpose, the plan, realize there's a promise, His presence. And then the last thing I left you with is this. He's got to have people. He's got to have people to carry this out. That's the church. Now the church, we found out, of the last days is a little bit resistant to that, right? Let's take our Bible. Let me show it to you. Revelation chapter 3. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Many believe that the church of the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3 is a picture of the church of the last days. Now you say, preacher, we're in the last days? Yes, I believe not only we are in the last days, I believe that we are in the last days of the last days. It's that close, folks. There's no question about it. But I want you to notice in Revelation chapter 3, look at, if you would, in verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. You say, wait a minute, what's the spirit of the church in that day? They don't want to stand up for anything. Okay, they want to be accepted by the community. Amen. They want to be written up in the local paper. The pastor wants to be interviewed by Channel 8. Okay, that's what it is. And listen, I'm not against any of that as long as you're going to speak up for Jesus Christ. But what I'm saying is that is not the focus. The focus is we have a purpose. We have a plan. We have a promise. We've got His presence. And we are the people. We are that which is He is going to use in order to promote the purpose. He says, but the church, the spirit is that they're neither hot nor cold. And He said, I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now we're going to get to that in just a second, but let me talk to you for just a moment about the conditions of the last days, the conditions outside the church. First of all, let me say this. More believers tend to put more emphasis on the return of Christ being relative to what's happening outside the church than they do on what's happening inside the church. And I truly believe that the coming of Christ, what is going to determine Jesus' return, is not going to necessarily be what's happening outside the church, but more of what's happening inside the church. What's going on with the bride? We're engaged. Here we are doing the things and flirting with the world and giving the world a false idea of what true service for God is. You see, the conditions outside the church have always been bad. They've always been, and matter of fact, when you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 7, even in Paul's day, he said the spirit of iniquity already worked. He said the spirit of Antichrist was already at work. Even in his day, folks, that was 2,000 years ago. He said it was already at work in his day. And it's just intensified over time. You see, things were even in Jesus' day, were tough. They were volatile in the apostles' day. Hey, people, even in the church age, vindictive against the house of God. Hey, folks, have you gone back and checked history lately? Have you read about the inquisitions of the 12th, 13th, and 14th century? And how many people that stood up for that which was right were put to death? Have you gone back and checked out the dark ages of the 16th and 17th century? The millions of believers that were put to death during that day for standing up for the truth and standing up for that. Why? Listen, folks, it's always been bad outside the church. It's always been perverse outside the church. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. It's always been that way. Even as we get a little bit closer to home and the Holocaust of World War II and all the atrocities there. Folks, it's bad. It's bad, but it's always been bad outside the church. You see, the world has never embraced Christianity. The world has never embraced God. The world has never embraced His Word. And it's never embraced the church. And yet, for some reason, we act like the world at one time was our boyfriend or girlfriend. We act like the church, the outside world at one time loved us. And Jesus told them from the very beginning, hey, listen, if they treated me this way, they're going to treat you that way. If they didn't like me, they're not going to like you. He told them that from day one, that would be the case. So the world has always been wicked. It's always been bad. And then may I say, the conditions outside the church have always been orchestrated by Satan. If I read my Bible right, the scripture said he's the prince and the power of the air. You see, folks, this is his domain. This is his kingdom. You see, when Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, he came and interrupted the kingdom. And one of these days, he's going to come back and set up his earthly kingdom. But did you know that Jesus also has a kingdom today on earth? It's in you. The kingdom of God is in you. It's the moving of the Holy Spirit in you. It's God living through you. And what we're doing in this world is piercing the darkness of the kingdom of the devil. And the thing about it, he's not going to like that, see. And so the church is trying to stand up and promote the gospel. He's the prince and the power of the air. Listen, this is his kingdom. And perilous times have always been a staple of the world and the conditions outside the church. Folks, listen, I'm 51 years old. You know what? Perilous times. Perilous times, that's been all my life. Hasn't it yours? When you were a kid, listen, the thing about it is when you were a kid, you just didn't see it because you didn't care about watching the news, right? You didn't care about things of that day. But see, the outside conditions have always been that way. They've always been wicked. They've always been vile. The thing about it is, most of our seniors today, most of the things that are happening publicly today, they were happening in their day, they were just happening privately. They didn't come out of the closets. You see? But today, they're out of the closets, on the rooftop, and with megaphones. Why? Because that's the spirit that's always been available and has always existed outside the church. It's just now, guess what? It's starting to find its way inside the church now. It's starting to make its way inside. And now what we have is we have the world creeping in and trying to date the bride that's already engaged. We've got the world trying to creep in and trying to flirt with the engaged bride, which is already given to her groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are the conditions now that are inside the church? I believe again, church, that the eye-opening thing is that the coming of Jesus Christ, I believe, is dependent upon what's going on inside the church, the conditions that are taking on inside the church, the effects of the times on God's people, and what's going on today is unbelievable about what's being passed off as a church and the perverseness that's going on inside the church. Today, most people today that attend what they think is a church, they wouldn't know the Word of God if it hit them in the face. They would know what is the Word of God. They would know it if somebody set it down in front of them, because as far as they're concerned, every version's the Word of God to them. Well, best I can tell, according to Scripture, that's confusion. And God's not the author of confusion. Then that means if He's not, then somebody's trying to mess with the bride, right? Somebody's trying to mess with that which is engaged to the Savior. So the conditions inside the church are starting to deteriorate. You say, like what, preacher? Well, first of all, if you'll notice here about the church at Laodicea, look at it, if you would, in verse 17. Revelation 3, 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and I could go on. But here is the spirit that exists here in the church of Laodicea. They resembled a two-master philosophy. They were trying to serve God, but at the same time, live in the world. Listen, folks, we have to live of the world. Or we're living in the world, but we're not of the world. And the church in the last days seems to want to try to manipulate both of them. It wants to be right in the eyes of society so that we get a plaque from the mayor, or we get a plaque from the city council and show how wonderful we are in the community. Now, folks, listen, I'm not against church being active in the community, but that's not our purpose. That's not our purpose. We need to focus on the purpose. We can't get sidetracked with all these other things. Hey, listen, I'm all for community activity. I'm all for our church being upstanding in our community. But that's not our purpose, to get a pat on the back, a plaque at the end of the year, or recognized in the newspaper. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is onefold, and that is to promote the purpose and the plan of Jesus Christ. And what's happening today of the church of the last days, that purpose and plan is dying. It's dying. And you know why? Because it's the people that are changing. The purpose has never changed. The plan has never changed. The presence has never changed. The promise has never changed. It's the people that's changed. It's the listen to me. It's the engaged one. Now you listen to me, church. What's happening in the church of the last days, the engaged bride, she's flirting on her groom. Amen. That's what she's doing. And what she's doing here is she's flirting with the world. She's batting her eyes. She's showing herself off. She's presenting her way in a false way to the world. And what she's saying, come, spend time with me, because you know what? I won't criticize you. Come, I will be tolerant of you. I will love you. I will be compassionate to you. I will do all that, and I'll never say one thing about sin. I won't do that, because I know that'll hurt your feelings. Wait a minute now. That's one of the signs of the people in the church of the last days. They're very easily offended. They get bent out of shape over nothing, over things, and they can't digest preaching anymore. That's the reason that we're going to learn later on that in the last days, in the church of the last days, Paul told Timothy there will come a day that they will not endure sound doctrine. He said, you know what? They'll be looking to run you off, preacher. That's what they'll be looking to do. Because you know what? They want somebody to tickle theirs. They don't want somebody to point out anything that could possibly be wrong in how they live. So the conditions of the last day, the church takes on and resembles a two-master philosophy. They take on a worldly identity. No concern for personal responsibility to the purpose and plan. They're more interested in being entertained than being exhorted to the service of God. Now folks, listen to me. For those of you that are new to Christianity, the church is not here to entertain you. That is not what the church is here to do. There are other places that have the purpose of entertainment, but the church is not one of them. This is not where you come to be entertained. This is where you come to get your heart and your life in tune with your God. That's what the preaching of the Word of God does. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's what we're here. We're here to get right with God. We're here to stop our flirting with the world. And he said, the church of the last days will have a worldly identity to it. It will resemble the nature of a thief. You say, like what, preacher? Because the church of the last days will take God's time for their own time. It'll be more about what's going on for them. Listen, I'm all for church programs. But let me tell you something. I'm not going to have church programs that exceed the purpose and the plan for which we're here. And so, listen, if you want exercise classes and gym classes and things like that. Listen, please, folks, there's places to go for that. That's not in the church. Okay, it's not here. Now, I'll be long dead and gone, and it may happen one day, but as far as that, I don't have any plans of building a weight room or a workout room. I don't have any plans for that. But you know what we do have plans? We do have plans to try to get this property over here and start more Sunday school classes and more educational ministries and open up more ministries to reach souls. That is what our purpose is. Now, all I'm saying to you is the church of the last days will resemble the nature of a thief. They will begin to take God's time for their own time. Listen now, they'll begin to take God's talents for their own. God will have give. Listen, everybody in this congregation tonight has a gift from God, at least one. Everybody does. Do you know it is your job to find out where your gift fits in the overall program of God? Now, if we're not careful now, the spirit of the church of the last days will be, you know what, I can take this and use this somewhere else, because you know what? If I go use my talent in the church, they're not going to pay me for that. I can go use my talent somewhere else and get paid for it. Amen, preacher. Do you know there's people that call themselves Christians that won't even come and play an instrument in the church because the church won't pay them to pay it? Play it. They won't come play the piano over here. Do you know we don't pay our pianist? Am I right? You know why she plays the piano? Because she loves God, and because it's a ministry and it's a talent and gift that she uses to worship her God with. You see, the spirit of the church of the last day will be, well, what are you going to pay me? What are you going to give me so that I can bless you? Nothing? Well, then forget it. That will be the attitude. They'll take God's time for their own. They'll take God's talent for their own. Listen, I'm going to hit this and just get off of it. But they'll take God's tithe for their own. They will resemble the nature of a thief. They will take what is God's and claim it as their own. And they will steal from God. And then what happens then? Then God's favor has to be removed because they're stealing. And so if God's favor's not here, then guess what? We're in a situation in the church of the last day. If that spirit permeates throughout the local churches of America, no wonder we're in the condition that we're in. We've got people stealing from God. They're stealing time. They're stealing their gifts and talents. And then they're stealing God's money. You say, no, that's mine. Well, let me ask you this. You in control of your health? You know, that job and that money you have, that's all dependent upon your good health. And you got it today, but you may not have it tomorrow. And then here's what I find. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just telling you the truth. Then what happens, and then when they get into financial woe, then they come to the church. Can y'all help me? Can you help me? Well, wait a minute. The records show for 15 years you didn't tithe the dime to this church. Well, that doesn't have anything to do. I'm in need right now. Can't you see? That will be the attitude. Listen, folks, look up here. It's not time to pray. That will be the attitude of the church of the last days. That will be what the attitude is. It will not be what I can do for the Lord. It's like, Lord, what have you done for me lately? And you are getting some special offer if I even step out by faith to do anything for your church. And by the way, Lord, you ought to reward me because of my gift and my input into the church. You see, the conditions inside the church are terrible in the last days. Their attitude will change. Now, let me mention a couple of things here, and we'll pull up right here tonight. When you go back and study, he said, preacher, Jesus is not interested in what's going on inside the church. He was ready to come back and judge what's going on outside the church. Wait a minute now. I read the scripture, and the scripture says judgment will begin first at the house of God. Now listen to me. Jesus has always been interested in what's going on inside. For instance, in his ministry, remember the woman at the well? He went and waited on her. You know what he was interested in? He wasn't interested in what necessarily was going on outside of her life. You know what he was interested in? What was going on inside of her. Because he knew that if things didn't change inside, she wasn't changing anything outside. So he was interested in what was going on inside. Remember Zacchaeus in Luke 19? He told him, come down, I'm going to your house today. You know what he's interested in? He wasn't necessarily interested in what was going on outside his life. He said, let's go inside your house. He said, I'm interested in what's going on inside. Because if the inside doesn't change, the outside will never change. When you go read Jesus' miracles, his healings, and all of the things that he had in his ministry and relationship, you will find out that 99.9% of them were all inside relationship and inside his attention and conditions. It was paying attention to what was going on inside. By the way, even Jesus addressed to the Pharisees. You remember that? He said, outwardly, you're like whited sepulchers. But he said, inward, you're full of dead men's bones. Hey, he was even concerned about what was going on inside the lost people. Yeah, he's concerned about what's going on inside. So let me ask you this then. Then when it comes to the church, why would he change course then? If he's concerned about what's going on inside people, their soul, their lives, and even the Pharisees, then why would it come to the church and all of a sudden he wouldn't care what's going on inside? Oh yes, he does. He does care about what's going on inside. You see, I don't think that when Jesus was speaking and to the Pharisees and to Zacchaeus and the woman at the well, yes, he understood about the outside condition, but he was more concerned about what's going on inside. And that's the reason I say, church, I truly believe that Jesus is more concerned about what's happening inside the church rather than what's happening outside the church. Listen to me, because he knows if it doesn't change inside, they ain't going to make any influence outside. That's why he's interested in what's going on inside. He's not calling the world as a bride. He's calling the church as his bride. He's interested in who he's engaged to, not about all of these other people that are outside. He's after the church. Let me mention a couple of things here real quick. Is the church who is engaged to the Savior casting her eye towards something else? Is she getting cold feet? Could it be that she is starting to have second thoughts about, well, you know, if this thing of consecration and separation and dedication and commitment, I'm not sure I'm into this. I'm not sure I'm into this committing thing anymore. Could it be that the bride is getting cold feet about promoting the message? Could she be getting cold feet on the motive of why we exist? Could she be getting cold feet and understanding that she is the means by which the message is to go forth? You see, church, if the bride is growing weary of the wait and she loses her interest in being a bride, then it might be time for the bridegroom to come rescue her. Amen. It might just be time for the bridegroom to come rescue her before she goes apostate. Before she starts blinking her eyes, because listen to me, the gates of hell are constantly pounding and pounding, and the call of the world is constantly there. But the bride-to-be seems to enjoy flirting with the world. She seems to enjoy flirting herself in front of the world and teasing them into a false hope. You see, if the bride-to-be has changed her interest, it's more toward the lack of wedding preparations, and then her attention seems to be more toward convenience, acceptance, tolerance, popularity. You see, she's promoted herself, church, to the world to come on in, spend time with me. Because you know what? We can sit down and talk. I'll make you feel good. I'll never point out sin. Hey, listen, I won't ever press you to do anything. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. Don't do it. And that is the false sense the church is giving the world today. You know why? Because she's been flirting too much with the world. Now, think about this for next week. And that's this. I want you to go read Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Next week, we'll dissect that verse because, listen to me, church, I don't believe for one second that God is uninterested in the church of 2013 and he's turned his back on the church like you hear some of them knuckleheads on TV say and write books about it. He hasn't turned his back on the church. He's empowered the church. Listen, and you know what he wants to do? He wants to revive the church. Hey, listen, he's coming. You know what? If the groom is flirting with the world and her eyes are turned towards somebody other than him, you know what the groom's going to try to do? He's going to try to go to the bride first and say, hey, listen, something going on here. What's going on? We need to talk. We need to get things right here. We're engaged. People know that we're engaged. They know you're connected to me. We need to sit down and talk. You know what he's going to try to do? He's going to try to do something to win the favor of the bride back. And according to Revelation 3:20, you know what he's doing today? And you know how I know he's talking about the church? Because when you go back and read verse 19, the last thing he tells them to do is repent. And then he says, behold, I stand at the door and read that next week. That'll be kind of the theme of our message. Father, bless the time that we have together tonight. Thank you for what we've learned. We pray that, oh Lord God, we realize that you want to come back quickly. And I ask you, Lord God, that as the pastor of Trinity Baptist Church and on behalf of our